Hi everybody, this is Kim Hamer from GetIntoPrivateSchool.com, and today's recording I have a very special guest. Her name is Karen Quinn, and she works on a website called TestingMom.com, as well as an author of the Testing for Kindergarten book. We're going to get into her in just a second, but I want to take a moment to thank you for listening and downloading this recording. I do offer these every month so that there's enough resources for you as the parents to find the information that you need to get your child into private K through 12 school. And if you haven't heard my story before, I'm going to quickly kind of tell you a little bit about it. I'm a mom, and 8 years ago I was trying to get my two children into private school. I was trying to get one into kindergarten and one into third grade. And we went through the process, and fairly blind. I really didn't know what I was doing. My husband didn't know what he was doing. And we had a lot of questions along the way, but we were afraid to ask them because we were afraid that it might affect our child's chances of admission. So lo and behold, the letters come out, and my daughter got in everywhere, my kindergartner, and my third grader didn't get in anywhere, and I was pissed. So I called up the schools, and I started asking questions and finding out more about the admissions process. And what I found out about my older son was that they didn't have room, and I didn't understand that concept when we were applying. So he didn't get in that year because they didn't have room to take a boy in the third grade. But when I started talking to the admissions directors, I started getting a lot of information about how the admissions process worked. And they were very candid and open with me about what made, our application stand out, what makes a parent's application stand out. They talked about how parents find and develop a relationship with a school. They talked about, what they're looking for in an interview. And I took that information and launched GetIntoPrivateSchool.com. We are now considered an online resource for parents who are looking for K through 12 school. And my sole goal is to give you, the parent, all the information that you need to get your child the private school education that you desire for them. So I am really excited today because, like I said, we have Karen Quinn on the line right now. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
It is so great to have you here. I'm going to quickly take a moment to tell you guys a little bit about Karen. She's going to go into her story a little bit, but Karen is also a mom and started getting interested in testing when she noticed that her son Sam wasn't developing as quickly as her daughter. And, they went through a lot of tests, and what they discovered was that he had a hearing problem. Sam took a test where he scored in the 37th percentile. And basically, the people who administered the test said, hey, you know what? He's never going to get into private school. You should start looking for special ed classes. And Karen, luckily, has a mother who was an early child, who has a PhD in early childhood development, and she worked with Karen to show her how to work with Sam. And lo and behold, a year later, Sam takes the same test, and he scores in the 94th percentile. Now, I mean, that's a pretty big deal. And Karen basically sat down, and she didn't do anything special. She didn't bring him to specialists. She got some information. She worked with her son day in steadily, and she helped him increase his score. So she took that information and she co-founded a consulting business, which was helping parents get their kids into New York City's best public and private school. And we all know how New York City is by far the most difficult private school market in the country. Karen also is, she sat down and wrote a book. And Karen is also an author of 4 novels, which I think is also cool. So you're also a very creative person as well. And to be a consultant, you have to be creative anyway. Am I right, Karen?
That's the truth. That you're always kind of making things up and figuring out, okay, what are you going to do next? And you have to be very entrepreneurial. And yeah, absolutely, all of those things.
Exactly. So I know that I covered a lot about how you got started into this. Can you tell me a little bit more? More detail about your involvement in test prep and what it's looking like and how deep you got into it?
Well, the thing that happened with Sam taught me so much, and what it really taught me was that if I could work with Sam, and I would work with him like half an hour a day. This was not like hours and hours, but we would just have special time together every night. I worked full time, so this was after I came home from work. we would sit down and I had a box of things that, you know, I would pull out and I would work with him on each of the abilities I knew he needed to have in order to test well and really to be in a regular classroom. I knew he needed certain abilities that he just didn't have. He was behind because he hadn't been hearing. And one of the things I did when I worked with him that I think was really important that parents can take this home with them is Sam was so into superheroes and Batman and Power Rangers at that time. And so what I did was everything I did with him, as much as possible, I connected it to superheroes and Power Rangers. And that's where you have to be creative. But, you know, we would count his his Batman collection. We
right.
would look at his Batman dolls and say, which one is the tallest? Which one is the shortest? Which one is the fattest? And we would, you know, do relativity that way. And we would do puzzles with superheroes because he was so willing to do anything that had to do with superheroes. And so I think it's really important when you're trying to help your child, whether it's getting ready for testing or just, you know, school in general, if you can connect it to something they love, they're much more willing to jump in and do it. But
right.
anyway, so that was how I got started with Sam. I mean, that is really what got me into it. And then I started, like you, I started helping my friends get their kids ready for testing because of what I had learned with Sam. And then later I started my company, and one of my favorite things to do when I had Smart City Kids was to teach parents how to work with their kids when they were very young, what to do, so that by the time they had to be tested, they would be ready. So
I want to back up for a second. So can you tell everybody what Smart City Kids is?
Well, Smart City Kids was my first company, which is still in business in New York City, where we helped families in the city get their kids into the best private schools and the best the gifted programs.
Okay.
So we consulted with parents and helped them, you know, when it came to finding the best schools and then getting their kids in. But, of course, you had to test into all of these. And so,
right.
You know, so part of our service, I mean, we did a lot of things. We helped with applications, and we did a number of things. But part of our service was really built around the testing and helping parents get their kids ready. And so, you know, and then I went off, I did this business for a few years, and I ended up leaving the business, and I was writing novels for several years. But I had this book in me that I really wanted to get out, which was I wanted to write a book that told parents everything they needed to know about, you know, if you have a very young child, what should you be doing with this child so that
right.
by the time they have to be evaluated for any kind of special program, they'll do really well. And I just really wanted to write that book, so I asked my publisher, I put a proposal together, and they accepted it, and then I wrote Testing for Kindergarten, which is everything I wish I had known. You know, if that book had been available when I needed it, when Sam needed help, it would have been great, but it's everything I wish I had known when my kids were little. I could have gotten them ready for testing and for school. I mean, it's all the things you need to know to get a child really ready to start school and do very, very well.
Right. And, you know, I want to point out something. First of all, if you're listening to this call, you can go to testingforkindergarten.com, and you can sign up for Karen's free daily tips. And I get them every day, and I have used them with some of my clients because they're so simple. So I really want to really emphasize that to parents. We're not talking about spending 2 hours drilling your kid. We're not talking about showing them, you know, flashing them flashcards. I mean, some of her tips that she offers are so, Karen, is it okay if I read one?
Absolutely.
I mean, are so easy. You know, it's like, today have your child pick up paper clips one at a time from a bowl and move them to another bowl. See how many she can pick up in 60 seconds. You know, you can do it with cornflakes or marshmallows or Cheerios. I mean, my kids love that kind of race game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you know, I want to point out to parents, this is really simple stuff that you can do. It doesn't take forever, and there's not a lot of, you know, Karen's tips come into you every single day. So if you open your email every day, you have an activity that will take you 5 minutes to do with your child that helps do things. And for instance, the one I just read helps build your child's fine motor skills.
Exactly.
You know, picking up paper clips is not easy. So
I
want to emphasize that. Thank you, Karen, because it's really amazing. So you started getting into this business, and you now have your book, which is the Testing for Kindergarten.
Right. And so I have Testing for Kindergarten. Actually, after I wrote Testing for Kindergarten, I got inspired because one of the big ideas in testing for kindergarten is that you want to make test preparation fun for your kids.
Right.
So, you know, you do not want to be drilling little children. I mean, that is,
right.
They don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. It's not fun. So actually after that, I created a game that's kind of like a Candyland type game.
Oh.
Where you roll the dice and the kids move these little space babies. They're like little space aliens, you know, through this game board that has everything kids love on the board, you know, like a, it's got like the ocean and the farm and the circus and all these fun areas, the zoo, you know, and it's just beautiful and colorful. And of course, at each time they roll the dice, they have to answer a question. And the questions are modeled after four of the most common tests that children are given to get into gifted programs. So like for the gait testing and that they do, you know, in California, it's the same types of questions. You know, from questions from the WPSI, it's the Wechsler test, the Sanford-Binet, the Bracken, and the Olsat, which are very common intelligence tests that are given. And so they have to answer all these questions. So just by playing the game, they're getting ready for testing, but they have no idea they're getting ready for testing. They think it's a game.
Right.
And they beg to play it. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I've just gotten great feedback on the game. So that was just something I developed that I just wanted to kind of take it to the next level to keep it, you know, how can I make this really fun for kids, but very complete for parents so that, you know, everything they need is in one place. They don't have to go to 10 different places to figure out what to do.
Right. Well, that's great. I mean, I think that's really, really wonderful. Maybe I should come up with a game called the Admissions Private School Game.
Absolutely. That's a good idea. I like that.
Parents can play it. It'll be kind of fun instead of nerve-wracking. Okay. So you know, it's February.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know letters are going out in New York, and I know that, you know, in Los Angeles, letters are going out next month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's coming up for parents who are thinking about applying for kindergarten, in 2012, 2013? What's coming up that parents need to be aware of regarding taking assessments or testing?
Well, you know, it's so good. If your child is going to be tested like next fall or even well into the spring, to have a little time to prepare is such a good thing. I mean, I can't tell you how many calls we got, like a testing mom from parents who said, my child is being tested tomorrow. Can you send me practice questions?
Right.
Well, that's not the way to do it. Don't do
tomorrow's
it that way.
Too late.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know about this. I think you're going to stress her out. I wouldn't do it. But, if you've got time, that to me, that's like the ideal thing. And, you know, if you happen to know the test that your child's going to take, that's helpful because you might be able to get test prep materials that, you could do a little bit at a time and practice the types of questions that your child will see on a test. And like, for example, here to me is a great example. You know, you've got like a little kindergartner and they give them these questions. They're called matrix questions or analogy questions. And it's like there's a box and it might be a head and a hat and then a hand. And then there's the child can choose from, you know, shoe, a glove, a scarf, and a coat, you know. So, you know, a head is to a hat as a hand is to what? Well, if your child sees that for the very first time on a test where her placement really matters, you don't want her to have to figure out, well, what are they asking me to do here? You know, if they could practice that idea a few times ahead of time, then when they are faced with a real test, they're like, oh, yeah, I know what to do with this type of question. I know how to think about that. So just a little practice, you know, helps them so much because you don't want to send a child in absolutely cold. Vocabulary questions are another example. You know, they might say, what is a lemon? Well, children get more points when they say several things about a lemon, like a lemon is fruit, it's yellow and it's sour.
Right.
But a lot of kids, when they're first faced with those types of questions, they might say it's yellow, and they don't say anything else.
Right.
So if you've practiced a little bit and you've practiced either some word games or just saying, well, what else do you know about a lemon? And you encourage them to say as much as they know about a lemon, then they start answering these questions with several answers. And that's what gets them more points, and that's what gets them into the program you want them to get into.
Well, you know, I mean, in Los Angeles, we don't have a lot. There's a lot of assessments going on. There are some schools that are giving tests, but not a lot. But my question is, suppose you have a really shy child
mm-hmm.
who you know, who just doesn't necessarily warm up to an adult. I mean, is there something that would what you offer kind of help that child do better?
Well, one of the things we do, like at testingmom.com, what we have is a lot of Q&A, and we actually have an expert on who's joining our panel who is an expert in shy children, because this comes up all the time.
Right, I'm sure.
And I had just interviewed him myself, and I asked that question because I'm always looking for good insights and good ideas of how do you help a child who's shy. And just like you don't want to start prepping for a test the night before a test,
right?
You know, if you have some time, you want shyness is something that can be helped if you teach your child slowly over time how to interact with adults who are safe, but adults.
Right.
So you want to, over time, you know, give your child opportunities to speak to, you know, the waiter when you're ordering food at a restaurant.
Great idea.
Yeah. So or like you're at the store and you're with a child, you want to get your child to say hello or
right.
talk to the person who's helping you buy some, you know, find something, a gift.
Or maybe even like give them a dollar so they can buy the candy and pay for it themselves.
Yes,
and
that
so they
type
present
of thing.
The money to the person. That's a great idea.
That's important. And then things like, you know, you want to make sure if you're going to go to be tested, your child is going to be tested, you want to get there early
right.
so they can warm up to the place. You're not just rushing in and dropping them off and giving them to somebody, you know. It's
right,
like,
right.
Let's get there early. Let's see what this place is like. You know, and if they have to go to a testing center in New York, that's what they have to do. You know, we say go ahead of time and show your child where you're going to be going.
Right.
So that it's not a completely strange experience, because shy children, you know, they have a hard time with things that are new. So
right.
you want to make it as not as new as possible. And you talk to your child ahead of time and you say, well, you're going to be with a special teacher who's just like your teacher, Mrs. So-and-so. And you know how Mrs. So-and-so sits down and works with you and asks you questions? Well, it's going to be like that. So you sort
right.
of help them understand what's going to happen so they're not afraid of the situation. You know, they're prepared.
Right. And I think that's a very good point for all kids. I mean, I know that one of the things I often tell parents is make sure that you explain to your child that they're going on a play date, because kids don't have the concept of time. You know, kindergarten, 4-year-olds don't have the concept of time the way we do. And if you say to your child, we're going to visit a school today, your child may think that that's going to be their school from
yeah.
here on in.
Right.
And so you've already created this extremely anxiety-driven situation when all you need to say is, today we're going to go to school and have a play date, and then the next day you're going to go back to the school where you normally go.
That's great advice. Yeah, you're right about that. That is so important.
Right.
Because kids do think, oh, no, I don't want to go to this school. I want to go to my school.
Exactly,
right.
exactly. So I really like that. So get there early. I think that's very important. And I think that holds true even for parents here in Los Angeles. You know, drive by the school and saying, you're going to have a play date here. We're going to go in here, especially if you're a child who's you know, reticent or shy. So that's a really good advice. I like that. What else? I mean, so tell me, because, you know, this test prepping thing is high anxiety. You know, the whole private school admissions process has just gotten so anxious-driven.
Mm-hmm.
So what can parents do that kind of relieve their stress? Because we all know that our stress, even if we don't think our kids are picking up on it, they pick up on it. So what can parents
right.
do to kind of relieve their own stress to help their children?
Well, I think, you know, making sure that you have access to whatever information you need to know to go through the process. You know, the more informed you are, the more you understand what's going to happen, first of all, that will help you be more relaxed, because you're going into, you know, when you know what you're getting into, you're more relaxed than if you're going into something and you have no idea what's going to happen.
Right,
so
right.
become informed. I would say with kids, if the children are going to be assessed as part of the program, make sure that your child is as ready as possible to do well when they are assessed, because that's what a lot of parents really freak out about, because it feels like it's out of your control. And to a
right.
certain extent, it is. I mean, you can prepare a child for any kind of, if they have to take like an intelligence test or whatever, but at the end of the day, it's a child going in and whatever, you know, if they're having a hard day or a bad day, that can affect how they do. But as long as you know you've done everything so that when your child goes in, the kinds of questions they're asked are a little familiar to them, it's not like, you know, they're doing things they've never done before, So if you can know that you've prepared them to the best of your ability, I think you'll be more relaxed.
Right. And I want to kind of highlight that for a second, too, because I think one of the things that comes up is, as parents, you know, it's important that you trust your child.
Yeah.
And you can absolutely, you know, you can help prepare them, but you need to trust that your child will do do the best that they can, because really,
right,
your child wants to make you happy.
Right,
and that's
true. I mean, you have to let go.
Right.
can't go in the room and take the test.
Right.
Say, I've done everything I can. They're bright kids. They've been going to preschool, or I've been talking to them. I read to them. They know a lot. And you, at a certain point, it's like you do everything you can, and then you let them go, and you say, you go have fun. Do the best you can. You're so, you know, show them everything a 5-year-old knows, whatever. But you're right. You have to let it go, because it's up to them. And just like school is going to be up to them, they're going to be doing that on their own as well. You know, you'll support them, but, you know, it's part of the whole letting go process.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about how you can make testing fun. I mean, I really like the email tips that you send out are fantastic. What other things can parents do? And you also talked about, you know, Sam was into superheroes, so everything was, you try to relate as much to superheroes as you possibly could.
Yes.
What else can parents do to kind of get their kids ready for the assessment but make it fun?
Well, in the book Testing for Kindergarten, I've tried to fill the book with games and that you can play that will get kids ready for testing, so that, you know, word games that get them ready for vocabulary testing. But instead of sitting down and going, okay, define a tree, you know, we play
right.
a word game, and they're word games that kids really love. And then, you know, also memory games. You know, there's all kinds of different memory games you can play. And so to me, what you need to understand is, what are the skills and abilities that they're going to be tested on, and then what games can I play that will build those skills? Because it's the underlying skill that you have to build.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, playing with mathematics, I mean, that's a really huge part of any test always. And it's not just, they're not going to be showing your kids numbers and asking them to add them unless they're a little bit older. But even with little kids, it's like, well, which, you know, showing them pictures and asking them which is taller, which is shorter,
right.
which is fatter. So as you're walking down the street and just, you know, you can point to two buildings and say, which building is taller? You know, who in our family
right.
is the shortest? You know,
right.
you bring it into everyday conversation.
Right.
These ideas, because you know a lot of times people will say, well, give me more practice test questions so
right.
my child can get ready, and I'm like, well, I'll give them to you, but really the child has to have the underlying ability, and that you learn in life, you know, in getting
right.
not on worksheets. So
that is such an important point.
Yeah, so it's like you want to make sure. And the thing about one of the things in testing for kindergarten that to me is a really important idea in this book is that I talk about the 7 abilities children need, you know, to do well when they are both tested and in school. And to me, it's like if you understand these 7 abilities, you know, things like thinking skills, memory, math skills. Knowledge. I mean, there's a body of knowledge that a child by 5 should have.
Right.
And you should know what that is.
Right.
You should make
right.
sure your child has it.
Right.
And a lot of kids just naturally do, because you're buying, you know, books, and these books cover these concepts.
Right.
But, you know, as a parent, you want to know what those things are, and you want to make sure your child has those things. And, you know, you introduce them to your child through life. You know, you take them to the zoo and you show them different animals, you know,
right.
or you get to go to a farm one day and see what's on a farm, you know,
right.
so and go to the beach and learn what the
right.
beach is like.
And I think, you know, I really hope that the listeners are paying attention to this, because a lot of times what I find is what parents think the testing is going to test is far, way over
mm-hmm.
what people are testing on. You know, we don't remember what it was like being 4.
Right.
But they don't need to know, you know, your child does not need to know how to add 9 and 15.
No.
What your child needs to know is if there's a group of 9 and there's a group of 7, which one has more in it?
Right.
So I really want to stress that with parents, that this is not about your child having super intelligence or being super, super, super bright. This really is, a lot of it is basic information that your kids have already gotten because you've been talking to them, you know, the 40,000 words a day already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You've been you know, pointing out things to them because of who you are, because of the way you speak to your children. And I think what Karen has done is put all that information in a book so it's manageable. But I, again, you know, this isn't this, you know, we're not talking about super genius babies here. We're talking about kids who are, you know, normal everyday 4-year-olds and probably have all the skills already, and it's just your job to make sure that they have them and to help kind of warm them up a little bit so they don't kind of freak out when they get into a situation where they have to use them.
Exactly. I think that's a great way to put it. It really is. It's you know, so many kids, it's just the stuff that you have probably exposed them to. And one of the things that it's important to do, you know, if you, like, for example, at Testing Mom, we have a home assessment that parents can actually do a home assessment and see, well,
oh,
what does my child know? What doesn't my child know? And
right.
then you know what to focus on. You know,
right.
because at least if you're doing things with your child and you see, you know, even if you're doing like really basic math, which that's one of the things that I think to me is a little hard for little children who are being tested, is they'll ask them verbal math questions. Like they'll say, you know, if you have 3 cookies and I gave you 2 more cookies, how many do you have?
Right.
That's hard for a lot of kids. And
yes.
so that's the kind of thing you want to practice. And you first want to practice it with Cheerios, you know. If
right.
I gave you 3 Cheerios and I gave you 2 more, here's 2 more. How many did you have? Well, let's count them. You know, you can really teach a child to listen to that kind of question and to use their fingers and you know, and add them or subtract them.
Right.
That's kind of hard for a 4- to 5-year-old, for many 4- to 5-year-olds. But if you've practiced it and if you've built mathematics in terms of, you know, always counting things.
Right.
And, you know, saying, you know, here's a blanket tonight. Oh, or maybe you'll need an extra blanket. Here's another one. Here, now you have 2 blankets. You know, that's
right.
addition in everyday life. And so
right.
where you can put addition into everyday life and subtraction too, then again, that helps children when they're tested because,
right.
you know, they're used to that kind of thing.
Yep, that is such a great point. I really like that. So it really is just kind of being conscious of the fact that you're already using it and how to maybe use it just a little bit more to
exactly.
help them on the assessments. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to this call and you live in Los Angeles, you know, we don't have as formal an assessment system as they do in New York City. There are a few schools that do administer formal assessments, and you can call those schools and ask, you know, what assessment do you guys use? Which is a perfectly legitimate question. And then from there, I mean, I cannot recommend Karen's book enough, Testing for Kindergarten. You can link to it on testingforkindergarten.com, or you can go straight to Amazon and buy it, however you want to do it. But, you know, it is a book that will allow you to get a handle and get as much information as you can about how your child is prepared. And the reality of it is here in Los Angeles, although the schools don't have a formal testing system that we put most of our kindergarten, our pre-kindergartners through, they do have an informal. So, you know, you might find that your student is getting asked questions about, you know, you've got 4 eggs and you're going to add 2 more eggs. How many eggs do you have? It'll be an informal setting, maybe with, you know, one-on-one, but it's still that kind of, and it is an assessment, and those questions are most likely coming off of some type of formal test. So this does apply to us. It's just that it's not as common in the Los Angeles school area.
Well, you know, the one thing that I talk about, and also I just want to point out in testing for kindergarten, is the fact that even if you're sending your child to public school, the first thing that happens in public school is they test your child. They assess your child.
That's a good point.
And what happens is kids are immediately put into the advanced group, the average
right.
group, and the slow group.
Right.
And one of the things that you don't want, and there's so much research on this, is you do not want your child in the slow group,
right.
you know, because that starts to become self-perpetuating.
Right.
Teachers start to think, oh, this is the slower child. You know, he's not going to be able to do this other stuff.
Right.
And what happens is the kids in the advanced groups end up getting more curriculum. You know, they end the year ahead, way ahead of the kids in the slow group. And so you want to make sure when your child gets to school that they're ready, really ready to hit the ground running. It's
right.
not, I mean, it's not that you want them to do well on a test. You don't want them, you know, stuck into a slow group. And
right.
if your child is in a slow group, you want to know as a parent, well, what can I do to help break them out of that and to move them ahead? And, you know, they often do this with reading groups, and they
right.
do it with math groups.
Yep.
And one of the things, a tool that I have found that I think is great, if you have a child, you know, who's put into a slower reading group, there's something called readingkingdom.com,
okay.
which is a wonderful site to help kids, you know, become better readers. And it's fun for kids. And so, you know, if I had a child who was struggling a little with reading, I would be right there.
Right, right. Okay, that's great information. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Karen. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
Any last pieces of advice you'd want to offer some parents? Anything, you know, three things that you think parents can do right now to relieve, you know, any like last two or three pieces of advice you'd like to give parents?
Well, I would just say to parents, you know, that you as a parent are your child's most important teacher, and you have to stay on top of this school thing. It's not just about getting into the first school. This school thing is going to go on for 12, 13 years.
Yes.
And it's going to be, there's going to be constant things going on. And the more you know about what your child needs to know, and is my child doing what they are supposed to be doing, you've got to stay on top of that, because classrooms today are so busy, so many more kids, the teachers just they can't tell all the time if your child is getting what he or she needs. So
right.
as a parent, you really have to stay on top of it. You know, I have a daughter who, what's interesting is she was tested when she was 4 to get into
mm-hmm.
private school. And she did okay, but well enough to get into a private school, but on the spatial aspects of the test, she did terrible.
Right.
But I was so happy she got into private school, it didn't even occur to me that that could be a problem. Well, she did have trouble through school, and it wasn't until 6th grade that she was diagnosed with a nonverbal learning disability, which
wow.
had plagued her through school, and,
right.
and which had kept her from doing well all the way through school.
Right.
And what I realize now, and which is something I talked about in testing for kindergarten, had I understood what visual spatial skills were, and had I looked at that test, I would have known, hey, there's a big red flag here.
Right.
This is a child who could have trouble, maybe, you know,
right.
in this area, and I should have been watching.
Right.
And I wasn't, because I didn't know. And that's why you have to just arm yourself with information. You need to know what your children have to be able to do through school. Because
yes.
if your child starts to have trouble, you need to know, well, gosh, I, you know, what could this be? Then you can talk to the teacher. Well, she's having trouble with geometry, or she's having, you know, she can't seem to read a graph. What is that
right.
about? You know,
right.
and so if you understand what kids need to know in school, then as a parent, you can recognize when they're having trouble, and you can get them help earlier. Because the earlier you get children help, the better, you know, they can catch
right.
up and they can do.
Right, right. Karen, that is such great advice. I'm really grateful that you took the time to speak with me today, because I think this is information that parents need to have. And so I just kind of want to, you know, go through a recap, and that is, you know, it's really important that you know where your child is, you know, assessment-wise. Your book is a great way to find out that information. And I think the point that you really brought home was, it's not just about getting into private school or a really good gifted program. It's also about understanding where your child needs to be, you know, throughout the school year, so that you can help them, you know, get to their best potential.
Absolutely.
That was really the underlying message I got here. So, again, I want to invite parents to please go to testingforkindergarten.com or testing – what is it, Testing Mommy? I don't have it up right
it's
now.
It's testingmom.com.
Testingmom.com, two sites where you can get a lot more information about, you know, helping your child get through the assessment. Karen is obviously, you know, highly qualified to help with this. She's started one business, done another business. I'm just really grateful you took the time to speak with me today. So that's testingmom.com or testingforkindergarten.com. My name is Kim Hamer, and you can find my resources at getintoprivateschool.com. And that's where you'll be able to find this download as well. I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. Karen, hold on for 1 second. Don't hang up. And again, you know, check out the site. Go to Karen's site. Come visit our website. We are here to help support you getting through the private school admissions process. Thank you so much for listening today. Bye-bye.